This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our light. Amen. You know, I love driving up and down Mill Hill this time of year. The lights on the trees are so beautiful when it's dark outside. In fact, the darkness of night would be very inconvenient and even a little bit scary if it were not for God's gift of light. In our first reading from Genesis, we heard how God was there in the beginning. In fact, God has always existed. He is eternal. Now, I know that's hard for us to comprehend because we had a beginning. The entire universe had a beginning, and God was the one who gave it a beginning. Scripture teaches that God made the heavens and the earth. On that first day, we're told that the earth was formless and darkness was everywhere. But then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God called the light good, and He separated the light from the darkness. Later on in Genesis, we learn that God created all the stars just so we could have light at night. Now, isn't that a different way of thinking from what we're usually told about the stars? I was watching a TV program one night where one of the scientists who was doing the documentary said, "Yes, we're all alone on a speck of dust in a vast universe. The stars in the vast galaxies remind us how insignificant we really are." But that's not what the Bible teaches. When you look up at the stars, God wants you to remember how much He loves you. He put those stars there so you could have light at night. Yes, even though Christmas lights decorate our cities only a few days a year, God's heavenly lights shine for us all year long. Those heavenly lights remind us of God's love for us. You know, our best modern scientists are still trying to understand the mystery of light. You see, sometimes light behaves like a wave. Other times it behaves like a particle, and scientists can't understand how that can be. In addition, they're not even sure how light came into being in the first place. Of course, we know where light came from because God has told us. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. However, did you notice that the scriptures never say that God created darkness? You see, darkness is actually not a substance that exists on its own. Darkness is merely the absence of light. I mean, think about it. No amount of darkness can put out the light of one candle. But the light of one candle can dispel the darkness. Throughout Holy Scripture, we see that God uses light and darkness as symbols of good and evil. But just as darkness does not have an existence of its own, evil does not have an existence of its own either. God did not create evil. Evil is merely the absence of good. At the end of the sixth day, God looked at His finished creation and said that it was very good. But it didn't stay that way. One of God's angels, whom Scripture later names the devil or Satan, rebelled against God, and sadly other angels followed him. God created them good, but they rejected the light of God's word. Adam and Eve were created very good. They walked in the light of God's word. But sadly, the devil tempted Adam and Eve to reject the light of God's word just as he had done. And with that evil choice, all humanity was plunged into the darkness of death. We are now in the church season known as Advent. That word Advent comes from the Latin language and it means to enter or to come into. Advent is a time for us to think about how God enters our world in order to save us from our sins and bring us back to the very good creation that we had in the beginning. Now in our gospel reading from John chapter 1, we heard these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Apostle John calls Jesus the Word because Jesus speaks to us on the Father's behalf. In fact, John teaches that the Word was with God and that the Word was God. Now, this is a mystery. I mean, just like we can't understand how light can be both a wave and a particle at the same time, we don't understand how Jesus can be with God and also be God at the same time. But that's how God has revealed himself to us. There is one God who exists eternally as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, if you read through John chapter 1 and the rest of the New Testament, you will be confronted with this one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, we find this God in Genesis chapter 1, where God speaks his word and the Spirit hovers over the waters. Now in John chapter 1, we also read these words, through him all things were made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, what does that mean? Well, first, John makes it clear that Jesus is the Creator. That's so important to remember because sadly in some more liberal circles, Jesus is reduced to be nothing more than a wise teacher, a prophet, or some religious guru. But that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches Jesus is God in human flesh. John says, through him all things were made. Second, John says that Jesus is like a light that shines in the darkness. Now, at this point, you need to know that there is a better way to translate the original Greek of John's words than what we have in our reading for tonight. You see, in our reading for tonight, it says the darkness has not understood the light. But that word understood doesn't really correctly translate the original Greek. A better translation would be, the darkness has not overcome the light. In fact, some English translations read exactly like that. The darkness has not overcome the light. Remember earlier I said that no amount of darkness can put out the light of one candle? In the same way, the darkness of evil and sin cannot overcome Jesus, who is the light of the world. Ever since Adam and Eve rejected God, the devil has been working overtime to keep us in the darkness of sin and unbelief. But Jesus' light rescues us from the deceptive darkness of the devil and makes us new creations. John the Baptizer pointed people to Jesus, who is the light of the world. As we heard in our gospel reading, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. Now, if you read later on in John chapter 1, you will find out that on one occasion, John saw Jesus coming toward the crowds, and then John said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, what does John mean there? Well, you need to go back to Genesis. You see, after Adam and Eve sinned, God promised that a male child born of the woman would crush the power of the devil. And then a few verses after that, we're told that God clothed Adam and Eve with animal skin. But why animal skin? Well, an animal had to die. Blood had to be shed. The first sacrifice. The first sacrifice of many sacrifices that all pointed to the one sacrifice. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The light of God's Word points us to Jesus, who entered God's world to rescue us from our own sins against God by taking our sins upon Himself and then suffering and dying in our place of judgment. Jesus shed His blood for us so that we could be clothed with God's mercy and become new creations. That is the heart of the gospel. Sadly, though, we don't hear that in some churches, because some churches don't want to talk about sin anymore. But if you don't talk about sin, you can't talk about the cross, because that's why Jesus went to the cross. The fact that we are sinners leads us to the cross, where Jesus died in the place of sinners, that we might be rescued from the darkness and brought back into the light. In our reading from 2 Corinthians, we heard these words, "For God said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Now in that same reading, Paul said that the devil does his best to blind people to the light of God's Word. Sadly, some people choose to remain in darkness, in the darkness of sin and death. But when God's light shines through, God then helps us see our sin, but even more our need for Jesus. And when that happens, then we have been rescued. Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. During this Advent season, you get to celebrate the fact that Jesus is the light of the world, who has rescued you from the darkness of the devil and eternal damnation. Yes, the light of God's Word exposes your sin and your rebellion against God, and that can be painful. But the light of God's Word also points you to Jesus, who died on the cross in your place of damnation and conquered death for you, so that you could have the hope of eternal life in God's new creation. Every time you attend one of these services, every time you read your Bible, every time you think about Jesus and all that He's done for you, God's light thereby shines in your life. As you live in this world of darkness, you need to take advantage of every opportunity you have to bask in the light of God's Word, which points you to Jesus and all that He has done for you. In fact, Jesus also plans to use you to shine His light into this dark world so that more and more people can be rescued from the darkness. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says that you shine like stars in a universe as you hold out the word of life. The next time you drive up or down Mill Hill at night, be sure to enjoy the beauty of those Christmas lights and how those Christmas lights remind us of Jesus, our Creator, who was born of the Virgin Mary to save us from our sins. All those beautiful Christmas lights are meant to point us to Jesus, who is the light of the world. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. After His creation had rejected Him, God in His mercy could have said, "Let there be light." Because you see, God sent His Son into the world to be the light in our darkness. In closing, I'd like to read a couple of the stanzas of the hymns we have just sung. First of all, let me read the final stanza of our sermon hymn. Listen to these beautiful words. God dwells with us in darkness and makes the night as day. Yet we resist the brightness and turn from God away. But grace does not forsake us, however far we run. God claims us still as children through Mary's infant Son. And then finally, the seventh stanza of our opening hymn. From the manger, newborn light shines in glory through the night. Darkness there no more resides. In this light, faith now abides. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our light.